stability, the maturity, and the foundational truths of God that go with that. Because with that, then we just ride a wave of emotion. Well, what's going to happen if we have something that's you know, just robs us of our emotion? What happens when the Holy Spirit wants to be just still and quiet? What are you going to do then? So tonight, I want us to get a greater spiritual perception of the Holy Spirit. This is going to be more of a teaching type thing, but nonetheless more as spiritual as when we get the juices flowing and the Holy Spirit is really doing something dynamic and active. I think that we're mature enough to understand that, but we need to just perceive that before we go into it so that we'll glean the things that God wants to teach us instead of seeking just an experience. Is that fair enough? Does everybody understand that? Okay, that's really important because sometimes we tend to bog down when it comes to technical stuff, so to speak, or the Word of God only. But let me remind you that it's based on the Word of God that we can have these experiences and be as motivationally charged that we are in the Holy Spirit. If we didn't have that, then we would just be riding an emotional wave, and when the wave's gone, we're done. But when the wave is gone, we are still standing because of the things we're going to talk about tonight. But here's the more important part. We want to gain spiritual perspective, I should say, not so that we'll just have it, not just that we remember that we have a foundation light, but for application. The Holy Spirit does things in our life so that we can use that, so that it can be applied to our life, so it can cause us to go forward and not just in the moment. If you've ever found yourself really, really tempted to go back in time to a certain time, whether it was a certain thing that was happening in the church, maybe a revival. You know, it's been interesting. I've been talking to a lot of people about the things that I experienced back in the 70s in Alabama. And there was kind of unique to the southeast part of the United States, just a tremendous spiritual awakening. I mean, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it was incredible. But it was not experienced in this area of the country. It was not experienced in the northern part of the country. When you look at the history of the Pentecostal movement, even going back to Wichita and going over to the West Coast in California, down to Hot Springs where the Assemblies of God was birthed, the first Assembly of God General Council was down there, there were these things that were happening, and they're identified by place and time. But if we only go back to those things and go, boy, wouldn't it be great to go there, then we're not applying what the Holy Spirit's doing now, and we've lost that perspective. So it's really, really important. So I want those of you who are back tonight to add to our understanding these things, okay? So basically, I want to give you 10 things that the Holy Spirit is going to do and is doing if we allow Him to through the Word of God that goes far beyond Pentecost, okay? And it's a part of the total package. You know, if you've ever gone to the grocery store and you have all these items and you thought you ran it through the scanner and you thought it got, you know, bought for, and it probably did, but you get home and it's not there, you're pretty disappointed, aren't you? You just want to go beat up the bag boy, you know, or somebody's responsible for this. The biggest thing is you feel ripped off. You know, not that somebody took your money, but you go, oh, man. Have you ever gone through the drive-thru and you get your order and you're about to pull out and you notice there's stuff missing? Don't you just have to park your car, get out, and go back into the restaurant? Because, I mean, that's why I was in the drive-thru. But people who are not founded spiritually in what the Holy Spirit does, then they do that drive-through thing, they feel great, and then when their experience is less than what they really wanted to, boy, they're just frustrated, and it kind of ruins the moment. So we don't want to do that. There's a quote that says, if the only tool you have is a hammer, you tend to look at everything as a nail. If that's the only tool you've got, you tend to look at everything as a nail. Well, the Holy Spirit isn't just a single tool called a hammer and everything is a nail, therefore. No, he's multitasking, if you will, all the time. He has multiple resources. There's huge amounts of things that the Holy Spirit's doing. And if we're not careful, we'll get Pentecostal blinders on and just only see Him through one perspective, and that's the experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and be blinded and also restricted from all of the other stuff that He wants to do in our everyday life. Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit only, or I should say, aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit is not only restricted to a church setting when the music's just right and the emotions are hit and the Holy Spirit moves and there's an interpretation and or a prophecy or a gift of tongues or something incredible going in here that moves us? Aren't you glad that while you're driving down the street, the Holy Spirit is acting in your life if you let Him? That when you do your business, when you go about your job, when you go home and your family, that the Holy Spirit's there too, and He's not restricted from those things. I've gone overboard, so let me take you to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, okay? Paul says to the Corinthian church, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, not which none of the rulers of this age knew, for if they had known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, these words we've heard several times, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. He goes on to say, but God has revealed them to us through who? His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things which have been freely given to us by God. Verse 13 says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Sometimes when you read Paul's writings lengthy, it gets a little wordy in there. So don't be dismayed by that. What Paul is saying, listen, there's a spiritual quotient to your relationship with Jesus Christ that cannot, number one, be denied, and it should never be avoided. It needs to be applied. It needs to be a part of you. Do you hear those times when he says, listen, we're talking about wisdom. We're talking about maturity. We're not talking about emotion and feel good. We're talking wisdom and maturity. He also says this. He said, you know, you haven't even seen what God is doing. But he keeps going back to the spiritually discerned parts of our life. I would much rather be emotionally moved than taught, wouldn't you? I mean, there's some of you that just love education. You love, you know, the academic, and you love to find out things you never heard before. But I'll be honest with you. When it comes to God, I'd much rather be moved than taught. I mean, and that's, everybody senses that. And it's okay to feel that way, but we have to be mature enough to understand that the teaching and the foundational things are just as important. That's where we're going to go tonight. So everybody say number one. Here we go. Number one, the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to understand what God has given us. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to understand what God has given us. Paul wrote this, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. Some of you have been raised in church, it's all you've known is church, and all you've known is God and spirit and all this other stuff. There's a little bit of something that's missing in your life, and that is the light and darkness phase. Now, I'm not saying that you didn't live in darkness, but you were surrounded by spiritual content, spiritual conversation, spiritual vocabulary. But those of us like me who just didn't even know anything about God and got saved, you're just kind of going, whoa, this is unbelievable. I mean, like, it's like dropping out of space and landing in Disney World, for crying out loud. It is just exciting, and you're all pumped, and you're thrilled to death. And that's what he's talking about here. He said, you know what? When you get a hold of what spiritual things God is doing, it is fascinating. But you begin to discover God has given you things through this relationship. It's not just, I'm not going to hell. It's God is going to continue to do things. The Spirit gives us spiritual perception to discern spiritual truth. I understand, and you probably will identify with this, whether this was your experience or not. When I got saved, I started reading the Bible. The only Bible I had was a King James Bible. Oh, my goodness. That was so hard. I didn't even know the names, you know. None of that was familiar. And not even having a background, it was terrible. And I started in the front of the book instead over there to the New Testament where the good stuff is, if you will. I realize the whole Bible is complete, but don't judge me on that. This was tough. And God was having to help me with these things because I just was doing what I was taught to do. When you read from the front to the back. You read it, you contain it, you know, you adhere to it, and you apply this. I had no idea. God had to do a lot of spiritual things in me to help me understand that God beyond that. But he enables us to see the things that the Spirit sees in the Word, in our life, and in our experience with Christ. Okay? So, hey, listen. He gives us the ability to understand the things that he has given us. All right, everybody say number two. Here we go. The Holy Spirit enlightens us to see what God wants us to see. There are things out there that have to be spiritually seen. We can't see them. God wants us to see these things so that we can apply them, not so that we can just know that they're there. What good is knowledge if it's not applied? So he says this over in John, the 14th chapter. John says, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me," Jesus said. "He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." God is constantly showing us things. He wants us to see these things. He wants us to have the correct perspective. Now, I found a couple of illustrations that I thought was kind of cool, and it's a little play on words, but it makes perfect sense. When David went out against Goliath, the Israelite army was saying, he's too big to defeat. Could it be possibly that David was saying, he's too big to miss? I mean, there's things in our life that spiritually, that's the perception. We're going, I don't know how we're going to do this. We don't know that. But, you know, God is saying, listen, you got the wrong perspective. You jump on God's bandwagon, you begin to understand the way he sees things, and next thing you know, instead of the darkness and the cloudiness and how much has to be overcome and how difficult this is going to be, you're going to go, you know what? Following God's path is easy. Listen to God's heart, and the things that he's going to do in your life is awesome. I found another illustration about a guy. Of course, you could tell this is just nothing but an illustration. He said there was a shoe salesman that was sent to the Congo, two of them. And they had this joint effort, so the report came back. The first guy said, oh, this is ridiculous. Nobody wears shoes down here. Nobody will buy any shoes. The other one says, this is a great market. Nobody wears shoes. They all need them. And it'd be great if we could just pile into the things that God sees instead of all the things that cloud our world, the news, the media, our own feelings, all of that stuff. When you see what God sees, it's pretty tough, and it takes a mature mind that is seeking wisdom from God. But that's the job of the Holy Spirit. He's not there just to make you feel good and jump up and down and wave your arms and sing loud. Number three, everybody say number three. The Holy Spirit helps us to clarify confusing situations. Have you ever been confused before? Absolutely. And you know, you may not even know the last time you were confused, but there are times when you're just kind of going, I don't know. And I'm not talking about my wife standing in the closet going, That's not confusing at all. That's just stubborn. But you know, there are times when you just don't know what to do. You're confused. You don't know the whole picture. Paul says this, God has revealed his wisdom to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. God isn't into shallowness. He's into deepness. God's not into the surface stuff. He wants to go to the very core of things. God's not interested in just moving you from point A to point B. He wants to move you with significance through everything you do in your life. And that's what he does right here. So when things get confusing, he wants to clarify those things through the Holy Spirit. That's another aspect of what he does. When you are baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, he helps you with all that confusion. I heard another illustration. I remember I heard this a long time ago. There was a young couple that rented a cottage. They wanted to go on this vacation. So the wife is in the kitchen looking out the window watching people play tennis. And the guy is in the living area looking through the window watching people swim in the pool. And he says, let's get dressed and go get some exercise. They met at the door. She had her tennis outfit on with a tennis racket, and he had his swimming trunks on. So, you know, sometimes we have these conflicting, confusing things that we're not sure what to do. That's minor. That's no big deal. That's just kind of a married deal. But you know, there's times when, whether it's that minor or where it's absolutely, you feel like it's life and death. You don't know what to do. You're confused. God says, listen, I'll give you understanding. And that's a great, great gift. Number four. Everybody say number four. The Holy Spirit helps us to concentrate on God's priorities. We know what our priorities are. In every situation, you know what's important to you. I don't know what you ate for lunch, but if you had the opportunity, unless it was eliminated from your choice, you chose the thing that you liked because it was your choice, therefore it was your priority. We need to be able to concentrate on God's priority because we're disciplined enough somewhere up in our mind that regardless of how we're feeling, we know that his choices are the best choices and the right choices for us to do. Paul wrote, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God distended in our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, or if they had, they would have never crucified our Lord. If they knew what they were doing, if they knew who Jesus was, they wouldn't have done that, Paul is saying. And it's all because they didn't see beyond the surface, and we don't want to do that. I don't know if you've ever said this, but you ever said to yourself aloud or just kind of underneath your breath, boy, I really wish I knew then what I know now. We cannot go back and redo it. Hindsight is great, but what God wants to give us is foresight. When you can look backwards and go, that was a silly mistake. I don't think I'll ever do that again. And how many of you have bombed on that statement? But some lessons we really, really do learn. And thank goodness. But it's different between just experience applied and spiritual wisdom that's been given to us, because God says, listen, I don't want you to look back and go, well, last time I did that, it was no fun. How many of you would still be in church if you look back and you had to look at all of your experiences, weigh out the good and the bad? Some of you had to fight through spiritual difficulty. Some of you had to fight through some really difficult things that happened in church to decide you want to stay in church. Sometimes it was loyalty and dedication to God that kept you there. It wasn't pure emotion. It wasn't excitement. But God gave you that ability to see, this is my priority. And even though you didn't understand it, you kept going forward. And that's what we have to do. You need to ask the Lord to guide you to see His highest good in all of your life. Hey, listen, that is so common sense that we ignore it. Sometimes we've forgotten to ask and literally pray that part. God, help me to see what you see. Help me to see what you say is important. Help me to have your priority as my priority. Okay, everybody say number five. The Holy Spirit helps us to apply wisdom. How many of you know what wisdom is? Please raise your hand. Just please, just for me, raise your hand. Great. Now, how many of you use wisdom consistently and on a good, solid, day-to-day basis? That's okay. You don't have to raise your hand. And the one hand that I did raise, I questioned that very greatly. Here's the thing. We know what it is. Applying it is a whole different story. But here's what God does. Through His Holy Spirit, He helps us to apply wisdom. Paul wrote this. This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. There will be times when the Holy Spirit is going to help you help others, but you don't know how to express it. As a parent, and I'll get to the kids here in just a minute, as a parent, there have been times that we've had to look at our kids and say no, and they wanted to follow up if we gave them the pleasure. I never had this pleasure to say why. Or the follow-up question. It just was not allowed at my house. But, you know, you tell your kids no, and they want to ask why. And even if they don't ask, the question is looming out there, why? And you know what? As spiritual parents, there's sometimes we don't have an answer for them. There's something spiritually that turns over in our gut, and that's my loose expression of it, or something that just grabs us, something between our head where the knowledge is all the way down into our heart and our spirit where all the emotions and the feelings and the perceptions are that says, I don't have a good reason why, but I just know the answer should be no. Sometimes the answer is yes, and you can't explain the answer yes. Well, that's apparent to a child. What about your spouse? Sometimes you have to tell your spouse, I don't think we should be doing that. I don't think we should be going there. I don't think we should do this. There are times that you have to do that. Sometimes it's with a friend. Sometimes you have to share this with other people, maybe even at the job. You know, you have to make a decision, and somehow the Holy Spirit is saying, this is what you need to do. And listen, I'm not talking about, you know, things that are weird. I'm not talking about, you know, things that seem to come to you in the middle of the night in a dream, and you go, I had a premonition. You know, well, a premonition isn't really the way the Holy Spirit works. He works in giving you discernment and wisdom, and that's why we need to understand that there are sometimes He helps us apply that wisdom even when we don't have a good logical reason for doing it. But I guarantee you, if not 10 out of 10 times, 9 out of 10 times you've been in that situation, you look back, and there is when you are saying, boy, I'm glad I knew then what I know now, instead of I wish I'd have known then what I know now. Because following the Holy Spirit, there was always a path that took you to the right place. Everybody say number six. The Holy Spirit helps us develop that discernment we're talking about. Boy, discernment is tricky. You know why? Because we make it tricky. That's the only reason why it's tricky. You know, we have been raised and we have been taught to be so analytical that you turn over every leaf, you look behind everything, and if you're going to do something, you need to have extreme justification. Or if you're going to oppose something, you go down this record of logic and experience and all this other thing. And a lot of times what you really, you just need discernment. You know, the Holy Spirit's specialty is discernment. It's not just being baptized in the Holy Spirit and the hoo-hoos, you know. It's discernment so that we can make good, solid decisions. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, and he cannot discern, he cannot understand them because they are spiritually, here's the word, discerned. That's a powerful piece of information to know about the Holy Spirit and what he wants to do in your life. And everybody say, number seven, the Holy Spirit helps us make correct judgments. Now, I realize that we've been taught, don't judge or you'll be judged, but there are times when we are being placed in position to judge. Probably not too many often times that we're justified in judging other people. We may judge actions, we may judge things, but not too often are we given the liberty to judge people. But the Spirit of God says, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:15, the spiritual man makes judgments above all things. The Holy Spirit is going to help you to make decisions. Judgment is that word that stirs up this picture that I have cast a despairing thought about you and I've judged you before you've had a chance to say anything to me or whatever. If you've ever walked into a strange place, and no one knows you, and you walk through the door and you see people looking at you, they've judged you. And you might be disciplined enough to kind of work with that before you carry that judgment out in the way you treat somebody else, but that's the way we are physically, and that's the senses that are kicking out. But we're not talking about, that split-second judgment thing. We're talking about how to make a decision that is motivated by the Holy Spirit, and that's what he'll do. Everybody say number eight. The Holy Spirit helps us to identify the truth. To identify the truth. We were talking this week about confrontation and things like that, and it was Brother Phil Johnson that told me, he said, I had a great way of finding out whether people really felt like something was valid and truthful and we needed to act on it. They would come to me and they would talk about, say, a coworker or something, and he said, I would say, hey, I'll tell you what, you just sit down, hang alone right there. We're going to call them in and let's share that with them. And then they go, no. You start backing off. So they wanted to talk about them, but they didn't want to really take care of anything and establish where the truth is. Well, the Holy Spirit's job is to lead you to the truth and help you identify the truth. John, the 16th chapter says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will tell you what is to come. The times that you and I have blown it, we've gotten angry and lost it and had to go back and apologize. The times that we have backslidden and we've failed to do the right thing and we were led through temptation down a road we shouldn't have gone, the Spirit of truth was not even close. We weren't listening to the Holy Spirit whatsoever. We're following our flesh. We're getting, into the flesh. Anything but the Spirit's working there. Because the Spirit of truth, by Jesus' own words, said he is the Spirit of truth. He will lead you into all truth. Now, I wish we lived in a black and white world. I wish it was so simple that it was just either right or wrong. It was just black or white, but we don't. And there are times when you need to know what the truth is and you don't know it. But God will give you that through the Spirit of truth. Everybody said number nine and say it's almost over. Okay, hang in there. I want to follow up that with this comment. The Holy Spirit helps us discern between good and evil. Now listen, it's very important that you understand that in the world that we live in, it's becoming more and more obvious that things aren't necessarily right and wrong. In other words, there's the line that used to divide right and wrong is getting really, really fuzzy. There's all kinds of things that are coming up that we're going to have to deal with in the very near future. I promise you, the issue of homosexuality is going to creep into the church to the extent that we're going to have to deal with it. I'm going to tell you, this government, and I'm not trying to be despairingly, I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus in Washington, but I'm just telling you, the way things are going, they're going to push this issue until we are forced to have to deal with it on their level of understanding instead of what the Word of God says. And we're going to have to make some big decisions. You're talking about the Spirit of truth and being able to discern. That's when we're going to really have to use the Holy Spirit in those perceptions. But it's coming. It is coming, I promise you. And in that, now by definition, and sometimes even by our own experience, we don't even know whether it's right or wrong. But we can know through the work of the Holy Spirit that it's either good or evil. That it's either good or evil. It is so important that we understand that because it is so easy to be confused with the conversations, be confused with the information, be confused with the argument, so to speak. I got to tell you, and I don't know if you think less of me in this respect, but I really don't get into a whole lot of debates with people about God, because it's real early for me to understand in those conversations whether they just want to have an argument or whether they want to have an understanding. If they want to have an understanding, we're going to go down that road. But 9 times out of 10, I'll tell them, let me tell you based on one thing why I believe what I believe, because of what Jesus did in me. It is the one fact, the one evidence that I know I can represent totally and completely. There's a lot of things I don't understand, but if they want to get into those arguments like, can God make a rock so big that he can't lift it? You know, those kinds of things that are just logistical arguments that try to debunk the whole thing and discredit God. You see, all of those things are just diversions from the truth. But if you want to deal with the truth, then I'll go there. But most of the time, my truth is going to be the same. It's the same testimony of the man who got his eyes restored to him by God. He says, all I know is I was blind, but now I can see. That's all I can stand on, but I know that much. And that's pretty much the way I live my life. But there are going to come times when we need to discern between good and evil. Hebrews, the 5th chapter, says this, but solid food is for the mature who because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. You may not know right and wrong, but God promises that he will let you know what's good and evil. Now, the reason that that's important is not because you don't have your own definition, but sometimes when you get into the mix of the world, you're not exactly sure what's happening. You need to know what's good versus evil. You see, when I'm at work and the boss says, you know what, I want you to do this, we know it's illegal, we know it's fudging something, we know it's misrepresenting the truth, we know that it's something, you know. Well, I know whether that's right or wrong, but sometimes a circumstance hits up and, you know, it fits under the category of permissible. It's okay. It's not against the law. But is it good or is it evil? You see, there's some relationships that we need to have, and the teenagers need to listen to this one big time. It's not because they're right or wrong. They're either going to be good for you or they're going to lead you down a road to be something evil. There's things that we do in our life. You're going to go home tonight and you're going to watch TV. There are some news channels out there. There are some reality shows out there that, you know what? They're not right or wrong by definition, but they're not good. You know, I got to tell you, I don't know how we sit through TV shows when they're bleeping every other word. I'm sorry, I'm getting into meddling right now, but you probably needed me to meddle right there, and that felt really good. Everybody say last one. Here we go. The Holy Spirit helps us be in the right place. Believe it or not, the Holy Spirit doesn't move you around like a chess piece on a board or a game that you play where you take these things and you just move it around. You're not in a monopoly and you're, you know, the top hat or the car or one of those things and you just roll the dice and boom. The Holy Spirit's not doing that. But he knows how to put you right in the right place for his purposes and for your purposes as well. God knows exactly where he wants you to go, where he wants to use you, and when he wants you to be there. And it's important that you understand that, because the leading of the Holy Spirit sometimes leads us to these very powerful and impactful emotional circumstances and experiences that we have in church settings and in private circumstances, in your prayer closet and others. But there's other times that he moves you along through life and you find yourself in situations that you never really dreamed of, but you were right where God needed you to be. Sometimes for the benefit of others and sometimes for your own personal benefit. Now, I'm not trying to compare this, but there have been times when we have gone down the road, something happened, and you look back on it and you go, you know what? I don't know if this would have happened or not, but if that same circumstance would have happened, like in traffic, I would have been right there. I would have been right there. I am not about to tell you that God did that, but I am about to tell you that I'm not sure that he didn't, because he loves you, and why would he want you in a wreck? But there are some times that we come up on things, we come into people's lives, we hit an intersection with a person and their personality in these relationships sometimes, and we wonder why we're there. We're there because God wants to use us, or sometimes we're there because he wants to use somebody for our benefit. There are times like that. We call them, in many ways, in the dynamic sense, we call them divine appointments. God says, you know what? I just know where everything needs to be right when it needs to be. My timing is perfect, and where you are, I need you to be right where you are. And it's pretty tough to feel when things don't seem to be going great and right, but God's still in control. Let me read this to you. Dave Boswell, he wrote a book called Life Imitates the World Series. And in this, he has this couple of paragraphs. He says, Earl Weaver, he was a former manager of the Baltimore Orioles, He managed Reggie Jackson in the early days that Reggie was playing. Weaver had a rule that no one could steal a base unless given the steal signal. This upset Jackson because he felt that he knew the pitchers and the catchers well enough to judge who he could and could not steal off of. So one game he decided to steal without a sign. He got a good jump off the pitcher, easily beat the throw to second base, and as he shook the dirt off his uniform, he smiled with delight, feeling he had vindicated his judgment to his manager, Earl Weaver. Later, Weaver took Jackson aside and explained why he hadn't given the steal sign. Now, I'll go slow so we can read this. It says, first, the next batter was a guy named Lee May. He was his best power hitter other than Jackson. When Jackson stole second, first base was now left open. So the other team walked May intentionally, taking the bat out of his hands. In other words, he didn't have a chance to swing at the ball because they intentionally walked him. You baseball people are with me. If you crochet or whatever, just pretend, all right? Second, he said the following batter hadn't been strong against that particular pitcher. So Weaver felt that he had to send up a pinch hitter to try to drive the man in on base. That left Weaver without bench strength later on the game when he needed it. And he summons it with this. The problem was Jackson saw only his relationship to the pitcher and the catcher. Weaver was watching the entire game. We too see only so far, but God sees the bigger picture. When he sends us a signal, it's wise to obey no matter what we may think we know. God knows right where to put you and what place to be. Let me go over these one more time. I'd like the worship team to come back up. Guys, if we could just end with that worship song we sang just a second ago, "We Are Hungry." Because I think that we are hungry. And I think that there's some things that I've hit on tonight that we go, wow, you know what, that's true. And I've tried to work with these things, and I've tried to be more mature in these things, and I've tried to grow up, and I've tried to be more disciplined in this area or to apply more truth in this area. And what we need to do is start realizing that's the job and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Rely on Him to do these things. Number one, He said He will give us spiritual perception and not just human definition. He will help us see what God sees. That's a powerful thing in and of itself. He will help us when we are confused. He helps us identify His priorities, not just ours. He helps us to apply wisdom, develop discernment, make correct decisions, identify the truth, know what is good and what is evil, and He helps us always be in the right place. I would like for you to assume with me that the right place for us to be is standing. And I'm going to ask you to do me a favor, just for a short period of time, just for the length of this worship song, as many of you will, I'd like you to stand and move as close as you can to the altar. To just stand here, if you would, in just a group, a body of Christians, just believing God, loving God, and just worshiping God together through this song. This short period of time, if I touched a button, if there was a nerve we stepped on and you're going, wow, you know what, I haven't thought about discernment in a long time. I've been just kind of relying on my own abilities. Then let's ask God to do that. If you need the realization that where you are right now is so different than where you dreamed you would be, but you're exactly in the place God wants you to be. You may want to be a million miles from here. You may want to be in a whole different relationship, but God has you exactly where He wants you to be, because right now is the time He wants to do something dynamic. You're on and on and on those examples. But let's just worship Him together, and then we'll be dismissed. John, when we're done, will you just pray over this crowd and dismiss us, okay?